This Sunday, we're going to do the order a little bit differently. I want to speak now, and then the worship team will come up and sing a song, and then we'll partake in communion after that. But I'd like to finish off our series in the I Am's of the book of John. And the last one in our series, number 7, is found in John chapter 15, and it is, I am the true vine. And that Jesus here makes a clear designation that he is the true vine. And what he's doing is that he's delivering this message to the 11 disciples. And when I say 11, because if you look at the last verse of chapter 14, you will see there, it says there, let us get up and go from here. And we already know that Judas was already gone and was in the betrayal process. And so Jesus here is communicating chapter 15 through to chapter 17 with these 11 disciples. And I'm not sure the distance of their walk from the upper room to Gethsemane. I imagine it wasn't an overly long journey. But then there was also opportunity for Jesus to give some clear communication to his disciples. His heart, as he was going to the cross, was for these 11 disciples. His heart was that these 11 disciples would carry on the message that he had been sharing and had been getting and training them to share as well. And that Jesus here was in the discipleship ministry, discipleship process. And he had spent 3 years discipling these 11, well, it was ultimately 12, but 11 here were left. And so here he was seeking to continue his discipleship ministry. And trust as you look at your own life that you have had opportunity for somebody to disciple you, or you are discipling someone in your life as well. But Jesus, as he was seeking to continue his conversation out of the book, out of chapter 14, because we know that when the original canon of scripture was written, it did not have paragraph breaks, it did not have punctuation, it did not have chapter separations. And so the message here continues on into chapter 15. And what Jesus was wanting to express to his disciples was a message of comfort and hope for them. He had been sharing with them that they would not be left on their own, but they would have the Holy Spirit who would take up residence with them. They understood this. Did they fully understand all that the cross was going to entail in their short history ahead? Probably not. But yet his message continues here into chapter 15. And he wanted to reassure his disciples, and that as they come to grips with the cross, to reassure them that yes, he was going to leave and go back to his Father in heaven, but he would not be leaving them without his presence, without his empowering grace in their lives. And so Jesus here continues on with his message. And so here he brings this to this idea, I am the true vine. Yes, they would have understood the concepts of the vineyard because the vineyards were all around them. And yes, his disciples were not active in the vineyard, but they would have probably had family. They probably would have had relatives. They probably would have seen the work that went into a vineyard. And so it would have been something that they were familiar with. And so they would have been also familiar with from the fact that throughout the Old Testament, Jesus over and over again shares the idea, the relationship of a vine to the people, to the Jewish people. And so we see that mentioned in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1, Israel is a luxuriant vine. He produces fruit for himself. Psalm 80, verse 8, you removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. And we can look into Isaiah 5, 1 to 7, Ezekiel 17, 6 to 10, and imagine there's many other references to them as being a vine. The vine was a symbol of Israel who was to bear fruit. But in the 15th chapter of John, Jesus gives his true disciples the message that he is a true vine. Because God's purpose and intention for the choosing in his sovereignty, the nation of Israel, was that they would carry the gospel to the nations. And we're going to see here that they failed in that mission. And so in the fullness of time, Jesus the Messiah came that he might become our true vine and that we might be able to also see and understand the message that he wanted to give to them, but he also wants to give us here this morning. And so if you got your Bibles open now to chapter 15, let's read the first 8 verses. starting at John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The purpose here, when the object was, is that they would bear fruit. If he is the vine and we are the branches, the purpose of that is that we might bear fruit. And as you see, as we read this, the progression from no fruit to some fruit to much fruit, and then to, as we see in verse 8, that you bear much fruit, as we see there. Israel was to have been the tool in God's hand to spread the gospel to the nations. That was God's heart, God's intention, that the nations would hear, and that's God's still heart for us today, that the nations would hear of the gospel message, that we might carry as his branches, that we, first of all, might bear fruit as in testimony to our Heavenly Father. But they failed miserably, and they were faithless and fruitless, and they produced the corrupt fruit of idolatry and immorality. Jesus, as a true vine, was all that the vine Israel sadly could have been had they obeyed Jehovah. Jesus was a true vine. Yes, they were to be a vine. They were to be able to carry the gospel. And here Jesus came that the word of God might move out, that he might train his disciples to spread his word. So Jesus has taken an image for Israel and applying it to himself. Jesus' disciples displaces Israel as the focus of God's plan of salvation, with the implication that faith in Jesus becomes the decisive characteristic for membership among God's people. Jesus is the need, is the answer, if we are going to become vines or become branches that are bearing fruit. Thus, we need his presence. We need to keep ourselves in the vine. Jeremiah 2:21 says, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine?" This passage presents us with several images. Jesus as the true vine, the Father as the vine dresser, and his disciples as the branches. From these images, what is the message for us? What is Jesus seeking to get across to us here today? I'm sure as he was talking to his disciples, what the message that they needed to hear was that if they remain true to what they've been taught, if they remain true to their Heavenly Father, true to Jesus, then they would be not, and they would not lack his supply. Jesus wanted his friends, not only these 12, but those of all time, to know that he was not going to desert them. He was not going to desert his disciples, even though they would no longer enjoy his physical presence. His living presence, his spiritual supply, would continue to nourish and sustain them. Even though he left and went back to his Father, he continued to nourish his disciples, and he continues to nourish us as well. If we are going to bear fruit in our lives, if we are going to bear testimony of our Heavenly Father, then we have to and we must bear fruit in our lives as well. And not just that we would have some fruit, but that we would come to that place that we would be bearing much fruit. Jesus wanted us to know that even though we cannot see him, we are intrinsically, intricately connected with him as the branches of a vine are connected to its stem. Just in the same picture as the branch is connected to the vine, so we, as his children today, as his disciples, we need to be connected in the same way in our own lives. And if we are step out of that connection, then we will witness that God's the lack of fruit in our lives. Our desire and energy to know and love him and to tell others about him will keep flowing into and through us as long as we are attached to him as branches to a vine. This is why we must abide in him, remaining attached to the source of all spiritual life. No branch can ever live, let alone produce leaves and fruit by itself. You cannot, by your own determination, pull yourself away from the vine and expect to have any kind of fruit that glorifies the Father in your life. And if you this morning are sitting here and you are not seeing fruit in your life, if others are not seeing fruit in your life, then we need to examine ourselves to see how closely we are abiding in the vine. We take comfort in the fact that we have the promise of his presence, but also the promise of his sustaining life through us. The winds and storms of life will buffet us, but we have all that we need to thrive. And so whatever experiences that you are going through at the moment, whatever God has brought your way, then we can move forward being sustained in his empowering grace because his nourishment is continuing to flow in our lives. In the midst of adversity, we can bear fruit and we can yet bear much fruit. And the nourishment that comes from the vine is all that we need to bear much fruit. There is no shortage of supply available to you. The presence of the Father is also with us as the vine dresser. No, we have the presence of Jesus in our lives, nourishing us, equipping us, filling us with his grace day by day for whatever we get to experience that day. But here we see the picture of the Father as the vine dresser as well. The gardener's prime task is to grow grapes. For that to happen, the ground must be cultivated and fertilized. Pests must be controlled. Weeds must be pulled. The roots must receive water. The vines must be cared for. The grapes must be cleaned. And the pruning must take place. And so we have the presence of Jesus sustaining us with his empowering grace. But we also have the ministry of the Father in our lives as well, as being the vine dresser. A vine needs a gardener to produce grapes. A vineyard is planted for a different purpose than a flower garden. Its purpose is to produce fruit. And so one of the roles of the vine dresser is as our protector. He not only knows what each branch needs, but he works to ensure that it does take place. And so we have his presence with us. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." And so his eye is upon us. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And he seeks to provide that. His eye is on the branches to see what they need, to move them from no production to the place of bears fruit, to the place of more fruit, and leading to the place of much fruit. So I'm not sure where you are here this morning. If you are at the place of more fruit, or you're at the place of bears fruit, but the ministry of our Heavenly Father is that he might bring into that place that you might produce much fruit. And so his careful work in your life and my life is that he is seeking to and being intentional to do that in my life. And he sees exactly what I need, and he is seeking to supply. And then secondly, he challenges the branch as well. Here we see in this second verse here, it says he takes away. And this can have the meaning in the original, to lift or to raise higher. The gardener will take the unfruitful branch and lift it from the dirt into which it had fallen, and giving it a place, a better chance to be productive. And so he looks at the branch and he sees the state of the fruit. And if he sees in those days, they didn't necessarily have the trellises. And so he comes along and he seeks to raise that branch up that it might be able to produce more fruit. If we get to a place in our Christian lives where we are unfruitful and barren, the gardener will have to reach into our lives, disturbing our slumber, and he will lift us up to challenge us and shock us to growth. We should be thankful that the God's hand in each of our lives, that he looks at the state of our fruit, he knows exactly what we need, and he seeks to, in his love and care for us, seeks to provide that for us. And so one of his roles is to lift up. There are times when the Lord can only accomplish this through chastisement, which if responded to with repentance, will help us to be fruitful for his glory. Some of the work that the Heavenly Father has to do might involve chastisement. In fact, the Word of God even goes further than that, and that sometimes he even goes further with that chastisement. His chastisement is evidence of his love for us, as he tells us that those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Yes, discipline is never a great experience to walk through, but we can, in the midst of it, say, thank you, God, that you care enough about me, you love me enough to actually bring discipline, that I might seek to move in the right direction. And then thirdly, he cleanses the branch. The gardener removes things from the branch that sap its vitality and strength. Things like sucker branches, useless buds, misdirected shoots, spots, discolored leaves, anything that consumes life but produces no fruit must go. And so as he looks at us, he notices areas of our life that need to be removed. And he seeks to come into our lives, and he seeks to bring pruning into our lives. Pruning by its very nature is not fun. It sounds painful, and it's not always easy to cut the junk from our lives, but the result will be a branch more apt to produce fruit. And so God's heart is that fruit might be produced. Verse 3 shares with us that the pruning takes place through the Word of God. Like a mirror, the Word of God reveals problems, as we read in James 1, verses 23 and 24. So one of the purposes of the Word of God in our lives is like a mirror. It shows us for what we truly are. And isn't it great that before we leave the house in the mornings, that we do cross the mirror and look at it? And I know that that mirror is sure beneficial in my life. And that before I leave the house, when I forget, then there's only embarrassment that comes from that. But the Word of God is like a mirror in our lives. Then secondly, like a knife, the Word of God cuts to the heart, as we see in Hebrews 4, verse 12. As we spend time reading the Word of God, it brings conviction. It brings correction into our lives. Thus, the importance of spending time in the Word of God. The work of the vine dresser is that the branches would produce fruit, but he's not content that the branch just bear fruit, but we move to, as verse 8 says, to bearing much fruit. And so the question we need to ask ourselves in our lives is, how are you in fruit bearing this morning? Is fruit evident in your life? Is others bearing witness of your fruit? The vine has but one purpose, to produce fruit. Without the fruit, the vine and its efforts are wasted. Fruit is a testimonial of the branch abiding in the vine. A close fellowship with the vine needs to be maintained if he is to live through us and produce his fruit in our lives. And so as we look at our lives and we examine our lives, how close are we abiding in the vine? Is it bearing testimony of his fruit being produced in our lives? But then we can ask the question, how do we abide? It's a logical question to ask. If I'm supposed to produce fruit, how do I abide? Some ways that are mentioned is prayer, studying the word, denying self, drawing nigh to God. There's different ways that we can abide. So as you examine your life, how's your prayer life this morning? Is prayer a part of your disciplines? Is studying the word part of your disciplines that you have set aside in your life to practice? Yes, we all have our different methods, our different means of being able to do that. We have our different people that we enjoy, different study devotionals that we might use. But I'm just asking the question is that how much does the Word of God play a part in your daily disciplines? Denying self, drawing nigh to God. The closer we abide to the vine, the more his life can flow through us to produce the fruit that he desires. We need to abide, but fruit bearing is a passive activity, as we see here. We are told to abide. And the branches yet need to be connected to the vine. We need to stay abiding in the vine. And here we see it in this passive role. The amount of fruit is the responsibility of the vine and the vine dresser. Not every branch abides in the vine as it should. It is still attached, but it has ceased to draw life from the vine's fullness. As a result, it is fruitless and withered. And so we look at our own life and we say, wow, there's some areas of my life that are fruitless. Or maybe some people that you know, their lives are fruitless. And there are three results that will be experienced in this state. There will be loss of fellowship. There will still be relationship, for our security is not subjective. but is fully objective as we are held secure by God. What I'm saying is that our security as believers is the responsibility of the Father and the Son. It is held by Him. It is not held by me. And this morning we need to come to that settled position that I am secure because of who my God is. But there might be loss of fellowship in your life. The peace, the joy that you have had in that relationship might not be there. And that is reflective of not abiding. There might be a loss of vitality, withered, dried up. There is weakness where there used to be power. There is emptiness where there used to be fullness. And so if you see weakness in the ministry that you are seeking to do, then examine your hearts to see if you are abiding as you should. Because that is where we get our strength from. That is where we get our empowering grace to be able to do what God calls us to do, is from Him. And if we are not abiding, then we are not gathering the strength that He desires to give. And then thirdly, there will be loss of reward. They will experience the loss of every reward, 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15. They will come from the judgment seat of Christ without any rewards to lay at Jesus' feet. I'm not sure if it's possible to be shameful in heaven, but that would be shameful if I go before the judge, when I go before the judgment seat of Christ, I walk away and everything's been burnt up because everything that I did was for self. Those who are not connected to the vine, there is no possibility of fruit, and they are dried up, gathered, and burned. And so our branches bear testimony of our abiding. If all we are is withered, dried up, for some who are not connected, then that will mean that they will be gathered and they will be burned, as the active vine dresser does his purpose. The purpose of bearing fruit is that the Father is glorified, as we see in verse 8. Our fruit glorifies God, and thus the greater the harvest, the greater the opportunity to glorify God. When fruit is yielded in a vineyard, the vine, the branches, the soil, not even the fruit gets the credit. All the glory passes on to the gardener. And so it's reflective when he gets a bumper harvest. It reflects upon the gardener. All that we should be about as his disciples is that we might glorify our Heavenly Father, that his name would be held high in high esteem. And so somebody looking in upon your life, is God's name lifted high? Because they reflect upon the fruit that you are bearing. The Word of God says that there are two other benefits for bearing fruit. And if we turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read verses 5 to 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to start at verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Peter here is talking to a church that is going through great hardships. And his encouragement to them is to put these seven practices into their lives, that they might be diligent, that they make all effort to seek to apply. And he's not seeking to build one upon the other here. He's just mentioning these seven qualities. They can come in different order than this. But often one will lead to another. And so his encouragement to them and his encouragement to us is make sure that these are becoming part of your life, that these qualities are testimonial about you. Because if these qualities are there, then he says they render us neither useless nor unfruitful. Isn't it great to know that that when we can be fruitful, that we are not a hindrance to the work? And Peter here is saying, if these qualities are yours and are growing, then they make and bear testimony that you are not useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We grow in our knowledge of who our Lord is, but we are also useful in the work that God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Because in eternity past, God already put in motion a job and a ministry for you to fulfill. And if we are seeking to bear witness of these qualities, then we are being fruitful in the work that God has called us and set before us. But then as we continue on, we also see that we will never stumble. The word that Peter uses is a triple negative, giving no room for doubt that the great eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. If you are bearing fruit, it's evidence that then you are abiding in the vine. And thus you will never stumble, as Peter says here, and as God wants to make clear in our lives. You will never stumble, and as that never there is a very strong word in the original, and he wants it to make it so that there's no doubt to the fact that we will not stumble. We will not stumble in our usefulness in the kingdom. Does not mean that life will be easy. It doesn't mean that everything will be roses after that. It does mean that we will have his enabling grace in our lives. And one of the benefits of this fruit is that we will not stumble. The word that Peter uses, as I said already, is a negative, giving no room for doubt. We can walk forward with full assurance. Our security as a believer is an objective truth. And as I shared already, our security is held by our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is outside of ourselves. It is an objective truth. But our assurance is a subjective truth in that we can determine to walk in full assurance. Will it make a difference in our lives if we walk in full assurance? Yes, it will. If you here this morning do not have full assurance, it is being evidenced in your life. How you walk, your rest as a child of God will be affected. And here the word of God and Peter wants us to be clear. Yes, we can know that we have full assurance. We can walk forward in confidence that of our entrance into the eternal kingdom. That is something that we can make sure as we witness the fruit in our lives. The disciples needed the comfort of not only knowing that Jesus was going to send the Comforter, but also the truth that they would not be powerless as the vine would continue to nourish them if they would continue to abide. And so Jesus' purpose here is that his disciples would be comforted with the fact that yes, he was going back to his Heavenly Father, but he was not leaving them alone. The Holy Spirit would be ministering their lives, but he would also be continuing to nourish them. The disciples were the exclusive audience of Jesus as he gave them the truth that he is the true vine. We are not sure if it was given while on the way to Gethsemane or whether when he got to Gethsemane. It was to be one of the final messages to them before the cross. And as part of the final message to them, it is elevated in importance for them, but also for us who get to read it from the pen of John here this morning. The importance of something when it's coming to the end is awfully important. Usually we remember the last things our father on his deathbed or our mother on our deathbed said to us. And here the disciples would have remembered this as well, the importance of abiding in the vine. So the question we have this morning is, how are we doing abiding in the vine? Have you put practices in your life to grow in your abiding? What's your disciplines look like as you examine your lives for the fruit? What is your life bearing testimony of? Our opportunity to be strengthened in our ministry comes in direct parallel with our abiding. May we be a church that seeks to do much to glorify our Heavenly Father, to also be fruitful in the work, and to also walk in the assurance of our salvation. And our fruit bears testimony of that fact. I'll invite the worship team to come back up, and as I just close this part in a word of prayer, we'll sing one song and then we'll go into our time of communion. So those who will be serving, if you can come after that one song. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for this opportunity we've had to look into your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you left us with the assurance and the comfort of knowing that you are the vine, that all that I need comes from you, if I but simply abide in you. And so, Heavenly Father, may I just walk day by day, seeking to stay connected, to allowing your nourishment to flow through me, that all that witness my life might see the fruit that your nourishment brings. For I'm praying this in your name. Amen.